Recording. Okay, so we're on Chaf Hey tonight. I'm going to begin on Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, around 10 lines from the bottom. So let's just refresh your recollection. So if you remember, we had two versions that Rabbi Bau quoted Halach in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So in the first version, he said if a person consumes something which is an Isur Achila, but not in the normal Derech, in other words, he doesn't consume it in the normal fashion, so then he's not chayav malkot. And the second version, he said, if someone uses isuri hana'a, not in the normal fashion, then he's also not chayav malkot. And the idea is that that the Torah says achila. So achila means the normal fashion of eating, and by extension, the normal fashion of, you know, deriving benefit from it. All right, and then we mentioned that there is a machloket poskim. If I'm not chayav malkot, what, if anything, am I chayav? So we said there are three opinions. So some say that you're still asur on a Torah level, you're just not chayav malkot. Some say you're prohibited on a drabbanan level, and some want to say you're totally mutar if you're not using it in the normal fashion. All right. So I'll begin 10 lines from the bottom on 24b, where it says Amar Abaye. There's an asterisk near it. Okay, it's near the small vav. So Amar Abaye, Kol Modim Bekilei Kerem, Shalok Alein Afilu Shalok Derech Na'atan. So Abaye says everybody agrees by Kilei Kerem. Kilei Kerem, the Torah prohibits if you have a vineyard, you're not allowed to plant, you know, other vegetables or grains in the vineyard. That's like that's called Kilei HaKerem, a type of Kilayim. So Abaye says everybody agrees. I mean, all the Lashonos that we had above. Even the last opinion, if I have a shlok derech hanatan, so we said that it's not chayv malkot, but by kilei kerem, kol modim kilei kerem, shlokin alei and afilu shlok derech hanatan. When it comes to kilei kerem, according to Abaye, if I derive benefit from the kilei kerem, and again this pasuk, it says pentik dasham leah hazera shetzizra. So I don't have the whole pasuk in front of me, but the Torah says that you're forbidden from getting benefit from it. So here he says that even if it's shalok derech hanatan, you're chayiv. Even the benefit is not the normal way that people would benefit from it. So it's an exception to the rule we said above. My taima shalom k'tibu hu achila. It doesn't say achila. So the key linchpin of the limud was achila. Achila means the normal fashion to eat, and by extension, the normal fashion you derive hana from it. But by kilei kerem, it doesn't use that word achila. So therefore, Abaye says, even if you benefit shlok, not in the normal fashion, then you're chayav malkot. So the Gemara says, Meifei, we ask a question against Abaye from the following brisa. Now this brisa, again, we did this last night, but the brisa is a long brisa, so you have to be patient, and you have to keep your eyes peeled for kilei kerem in it, okay? So he says, Meifei, isi ben Yehuda omer, minayin lebasar b'chalav shu asur. How do I know that I'm not allowed to eat basar b'chalav? In other words, the Torah says, everybody knows this. It says three times in the Torah, lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. Don't cook a kid in its mother's milk. So the famous drasha, which Rashi brings down, I think everybody's familiar with, is it says it three times. One teaches you that I can't cook it together. The other that I can't eat that which I cook together. And the third, I can't get hana from it. This is a different method of learning. And the Gemara in Masechet Chulin has different limudim for the Basar B'chalav. So, Isi ben Yehuda omer, minayin lebasar b'chalav shu asur. How do I know that I'm not allowed to eat? In other words, if I cook milk with meat, how do I know that I know I can't cook the milk with meat, but how do I know if I cook it together that I can't eat it? Because the Torah never says I can't eat the product of that. So, Ne'emar kan ki'am kadosh atah. So it says in Re'eh, in Parshat Re'eh, ki'am kadosh atah l'Hashem Elokecha. Lo tevashel gediba chalev imo. Again, the Gemara quotes the beginning of the pasuk, but you need the end of the pasuk. We've seen this many times before. But the beginning of the pasuk says ki am kadosh atah. You're a holy nation. Don't cook the kid in its mother's milk. V'ne'amar lahalan, and it says in Parshat Mishpatim, which is in Shemot, banshe kodesh tiyunli, and then it says ubasarda said the treifa lo tochelu la kelv tashlichanoto. You're a holy nation. Don't eat treifas. So it's a gzeira shava, right? Here it says, am kadosh, and there it says, anshe kodesh. So it's not exactly the same, but close enough. Okay, so that's the Gzeira Shava. So he says here, Malahalan Asur. So just like by Trefos, I know I'm not allowed to eat the prohibition, the Trefos, I'm not allowed to eat Tref meat. He says, Afkan Asur. So too, by Basar B'chalav, I can't eat the product of the milk and the meat that's cooked together. Okay, that we got. So I only know that I'm not allowed to eat the product of the Basar B'chalav. How do I know I'm not allowed to derive benefit? So if I cooked, you know, I cooked the meat with the milk, and now I have this new concoction, how do I know I can't derive any benefit from from the final concoction? So here's the part that we need, and well, let's focus. So first we're just going to do the brisa, and then we're going to extrapolate from the brisa. So the Gemara says, Amrit Kavachomer, we're going to deduce it from a Kavachomer. Again, this is still the brisa. Uma Orla Shlonev Daba Aveira Asurbana. Orla, which is the fruit for the first 3 years of the tree, you're not allowed to eat it or get hana from it. So that was not done by Aveira. When I planted the tree, I didn't do any Aveira by planting a tree. No Aveira with it. Nevertheless, the Orla is prohibited by hana. He says, Basar B'chalav Shenev Dabo Aveira. By Basar B'chalav, ipso facto, I did an Aveira by cooking the Basar B'chalav. There's no other way I can get Basar B'chalav unless I did the Aveira of cooking the Basar B'chalav. He says, Eino Din Shehi Asur B'hana. So if Orla is prohibited by hana, that's, you know, Alachas Kama Kama, you know, Basar B'chalav is prohibited Bahana because there an Aveira was done. It's like much worse. So the top line on Chaf Hamad Aleph, 25a, the top line, he says, and again, the Bryce is continuing. Ma'la Orla Shkin Lohai Tal Shad Kosher. Wait a second. In other words, the idea is Kal V'chomer. If it's true by Orla, where no Aveira was done, that's the Kal. The Chomer is Basar B'chalav. Basar B'chalav is more stringent because there I did an Aveira with it, definitely. So now, but if I find an aspect where Orla is more Kamur, that's going to throw away the Kal V'chomer. So he says, Ma'la Orla shkein lo ayta l'shara kosher. Orla never had a moment when it was heter, when the fruits were mutar. So that's a chumrah. That's a chumrah. So it might be true by Orla. Tomar Basar B'chalav shetel l'shara kosher. By Basar B'chalav, so before I cooked it together, the meat was permissible and the milk was permissible. So that's more of a kula. So the fact that something's true, so it's like that's throwing apart a Kal V'chomer. The idea was that Basar B'chalav is more chamor than Orla because I did an Aveira with it. But here it's coming out that it's really that Orla may be more stringent because Orla never had a shot of kosher. Anyway, so the Gemara says, the Brisa says, Chamis B'Pesach Yochiach. So maybe we could bring proof from Chamis B'Pesach. So Chamis Pesach, you know, Chamis 11 during Passover, he says, She Hayalu Shara Kosher. It had a point in time where you could eat Chamis before Pesach. He says, Ba'asur Bahana'a. And nevertheless, it's still Asur Bahana'a. So that kind of detoxifies everything. I see that even though it had a shot, you know, Shad HaKosher, so Asur Bahana'a. So if it's true by Chamis B'Pesach, so certainly it should be true by Basar B'chalav. So the Brisa says, Malo Chamis B'Pesach Shekein Onesh Karet. No, but Chamis B'Pesach has another Chumrah. That's a Chiv Karet if I eat the Chamis B'Pesach. And Basar B'Chalav is not a Chiv Karet. So what's true by Chamis B'Pesach may not be true by Basar B'Chalav. It says, Tomor B'Basar B'Chalav Shekein Onesh Karet. So the Gemara says, Kiliya Kerem Yochichu. Now here we see Kiliya Kerem, so lights go off, right? That's the hunt. That's what we're interested. Kiliya Kerem, right? Remember, Abayi says that by Kiliya Kerem, that any benefit you derive from it, even if it's not the normal way of getting driving benefits, prohibited. So Kiliya Kerem Yochichu, Kiliya Kerem will prove she'ein anosh karet. There's no chiv karet by Kiliya Kerem. He says va'asur ba'ana. That's the end of the brisa. Now, if you look in the third white line in Rashi, Rashi says, uv'shchita chulin parech v'nema orla tochiach v'chazar adin. So in Shechitat Chulin is that, who knows what Shechitat Chulin is? When Rashi says Shechitat Chulin, what does Shechitat Chulin mean? Who could tell me? What?
Being Shechitat Chulin in the Azara?
No. All right. Who knows what Shechitat Chulin means? What, Michael, let me hear you. What do you got? You have something? No? All right. Anyway, Shechitat Chulin, what? I can't hear what you're saying, Michael.
I didn't hear the question.
What does Rashi mean by Shechitat Chulin on line 3, the third white line? All right. Anyway, the Rishonim call Masechet Chulin Shechitat Chulin. That's the name of the Rishonim call for Masechet Chulin. And then Zvachim they call Shechitat Kachim. So when Rashi says of Shechitat Chulin, he means what we would call Masechet Chulin. Parech v'neim or l'tochiach v'chazar adin. So over there in Chulin they have the same sugya and they ask, why don't we have a Bamei Matzino? In other words, I can't learn from A, I learn from B, I can't learn from B, I learn from C, so I don't learn Bamei Matzino. So anyway, but the Gemara has an answer to it over there. But anyway, we're done with the Braisa now. Anyway, the main point is, the Gemara brought a proof from Kilia Kerem. Kilia Kerem is not Anosh Karet, but it's Asra Bahana'a, and so Basra Bakalav, we think is also Asra Bahana'a. Now, we didn't deduce the question yet. Now, on line 6 on Chaf Hayim Be Aleph, 25a, on line 6 in the Gemara, he says, Vim'ita, if it's true what Abaye said, and remember what Abaye said, he said that the Torah prohibits, you get Malkot, even if you get irregular, even though you have an irregular fashion of getting Hana from it, Nifroch, so then we can ask Akasha against that. We'll say, Malakilia Kerem, Shkin Lokin Alayna, Filush Lokiderach Naatan. There's a Chumrah by Kilia Kerem, because by Kilia Kerem, which is not typical, you get Malkot, even if you get benefit, not in the normal fashion. So if that's true, if Abai is true, how is it that the Bryce is able to adduce this Kava Chomer if what Abai said is true? The Gemara, the Bryce should have a kash against it. So Abaye will respond to that, Tomar Babai. So if that's true, like the way the style goes, Tomar Babasar Bechalav. So what would you say, Tomar what? Tomar Babasar Bechalav, Shein Lokin Alav, Eladerach Hana'ato. In other words, so the completion of that sentence would be, but by Basar Bechalav, I only get Malkot if I get Hana in the normal fashion. That would be the way it would go. In other words, how can I learn Basar Bechalav from Kilayim? Kilayim, I get Malkot even if I don't benefit in the normal fashion, and Basar Bechalav only in normal fashion. He says, Atu Basra Kalav Achiluk Tivabe. So again, the linchpin for all our limudim by the typical Isurim, it said Achila. So Achila means the normal fashion I eat it, normal fashion I get Hana. Does it say Achila by Basra Bakalav? No, it doesn't say Achila by Basra Bakalav. It just says Lotiva Shilkadiba Chalevi Mo, meaning that indeed by Basra Bakalav, you'd also get Malkot if you would get benefit from it, shloka derech akilato. So that's not a kasha against the bai, or bai as an answer to the kasha. Let me just do a few lines, then I'll pause and we'll take some questions, okay? He says, ve'idach to kamotiv law, but the one, the makshin, the Gemara doesn't identify who the makshin was. Meitve means like the B'nai Yeshiva asked this question, but whoever the makshin was, savar law, lahachi kagamar mi nevela. He holds, that's why we learn from nevela. Now, Rashi points out, when it says nevela, it's using the term imprecisely, meaning we set up a gzeira shava in the earlier part of the Braisa between, with trefa, right, trefa. So Rashi goes through maybe this, that, the other, but it means, bottom line, it means a trefa. So so he says that's why it sets up the gzeira shava from the trefa, that ma nevela, derech hana'ato, that just like by treifas, you only get, the only Isra Hana is the normal fashion, af basar b'chalav derech hana'ato. In other words, the Makshin felt that by basar b'chalav in achinami, it is derech achilato. So if that, because he's learning out the gzeir shabbat, that's where he learns that I'm not allowed to get hana from the treifa. So that's his source for it all. Well, I mean, that was the source for how you know that you can't eat it. And then we had the Kal V'Chomer for the Hana. But he's assuming that all the things that it would apply by Trefa, it would have to be the normal Derech Hana from it. So V'Abaye, L'Hachi Lo Ketav Achila B'Gufo. He says, Abaye holds, no, that's why the Torah didn't write Achila by Basar B'Chalav, L'Mar Shlokin Alav, Afilu Shlokin Derech Hana Ato. Okay, now, all right, let me just pause. Let me just repeat a little bit, and then we'll take some questions, okay? So the way we hooked into this whole discussion is we're talking about, getting benefit from things like not in the normal fashion, not in the normal usage, the way people normally benefit from it. So we said in yesterday's daf, we had two members from Rabbi Yochanan, either that you don't get Malkot for eating something not in the normal fashion of eating or consuming it, and then we had that you get Malkot even if you get Hana from it, you don't get Malkot if you don't get Hana from it in the normal fashion. And remember, we had like eating raw chalev would be an example of not you know, the normal fashion of eating, or using the chalev in a fashion that people, you know, normally, like a person puts the chalev on his wound. That's not the way people normally use chalev. They use it to smear over hides. So that would be an irregular fashion. So we had the memra that you don't get malchut for that. You don't get malchut. So then Abayi said, by kilei akerem is when I grope the grapevines with vegetables or grains or things like that. So that's an isur hana'a. So Abayi says, by kilei akerem, you do get malchut, even if you get benefit from it, not in the normal fashion. Because it doesn't say achila. It doesn't say achila by kilei akerem. So then they asked the question from this brisa. So the brisa got into basar b'chalav and so forth, but we had a kal v'chomer from kilei akerem. If kilei akerem is asur b'hana'a, even though it's no chiyuv of karet, so certainly basar b'chalav also will be asur b'hana'a. That was the idea. But the Gemara said, but if it's true that by kilei akerem, that the Yechai Malkot, even not normal fashion of Hana'a, so that's going to throw away the Kal V'chomer, because that's true by Kilei Kerem, and we think it's not true by Basar B'chalav. That's the question. So Abayi says, why do you think it's not true by Basar B'chalav? By Basar B'chalav, it doesn't say Achila either. So in Achinami, I hold that by both of them that you get Malkot if you get benefit from it, not in the normal fashion. But the Makshin felt that you don't get Malkot by Basar B'chalav. The Makshin felt that the Bryce has set up Xer Shab with Trefa. Trefa, it says, it was Trefa Lo Tochelu. By Trefa, it says that you can't eat it. And so therefore, I know it has to be in the normal fashion. And he applies that provision to Basar B'chalav. Okay, we're in the middle of Limud, but let me take some questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far. Robert, what's up?
How do you get benefit from combining milk and meat other than by eating it?
No, in other words, let's say I want to
selling it. You sell it.
Let's say I sell it to a non-Jew, right?
So in other words, you could sell the mixture. That would be how you would get benefit.
Feed it to your animal.
That right. That would be another method. Right. Another method.
Dog food.
Right. All right. Other methods. Okay.
And that's a common problem with some of these foods.
Yeah. All right. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts?
It's also to give benefit, have hana.
That's correct.
Letting Robert know it's also.
Right. You're not allowed to get benefit.
Now, I knew that. I just couldn't. I didn't comprehend, other than eating it yourself, how you would get benefit.
All right. Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Everybody good? Okay. Nice cover here in the middle of the snowstorm. All right. Let's take a look. So so we're on Chaf Hayamad Aleph. Around midway down the column, okay? Last word in line is v'lifroch, all right? So the Gemara says, v'lifroch, why can we ask a different kasha? Malakili kerem shekin lo haitalo shara kosher. Okay, so again, we're moving away from the original halacha about getting hana, like in the normal fashion, not the normal fashion, but we're just focusing on this brisa and the kal v'chomer from kilei kerem. Okay, so the Gemara says, I can ask a different kasha. Malakili kerem shekin lo haitalo shara kosher. In other words, if I could prove that kilei kerem is inherently more stringent than basar b'chalav, then I'm sunk, right? Then I'm sunk. And it was, the idea is, if it's true by kilei kerem, it's certainly true by basar b'chalav. But if kilei kerem were chamor, then I'm in gahak tzuris. So the Gemara says, Malakili kerem shekin lo haitalo shara kosher. It says, kilei kerem never had a moment when it's permissible. So the Makshin here thinks that kilei kerem only applies to the gidulim. In other words, it grows, like I have a plant, and it grows, you know, in the vineyard. So the part that it grew in the vineyard, that additional gidulim, that's prohibited from the get-go. So it never had that additional growth, never had a shot of kosher. So Amar Vada Barava, Zoromeret, kilei kerem, ikaran ne'esarim. So he says the fact that the Brisa does not adduce that as a question, that teaches me the kilei kerem ikarana surin. That means if I plant kilei kerem, I plant a seed, and then it grows, so the seed itself, the original seed, becomes prohibited. The whole plant becomes prohibited. He says, hol vahitalahen shara kosher kodem hashrasha. So it did have a shot hakosher. So the reason it's not akasha, that means when I put the seed in the ground, so the seed is permissible, you know, I can have anah. Then the seed takes root, and begins to grow, then the whole seed becomes prohibited. So it did have a shot of kosher. So it's not a kasha. That's what he says. So Matib Rav Shemaya, so Rav Shemaya poses a question from the following Mishnah. This Mishnah is Masechet Kilayim. Again, Masechet Kilayim is one of the Masechtot that we don't do in Daf Yomi because there's no Gemara in it. But you get a little taste of everything in Daf Yomi. So he says, Hamav Yer Atzitz Nakuv Bekerem. So this is the Atzitz Nakuv we have throughout Shas. I have a perforated pot. So I have like a plant, vegetable, or something growing in the perforated pot. And I bring the perforated pot into the Kerem. That's considered like it's growing in the Kerem. That's the main idea. He says, Im Hosif Matayim Asur. So this Tana the Bryce is saying, if the plant grew 1/200th of its ultimate growth, in other words, I leave the perforated pot in the vineyard, and then the plant grows, you know, 0.5% of its total growth. He says, so then the extra gidulim are prohibited. That extra amount becomes prohibited. And that amount will oster the whole plant. It's like a mixture of heter and eastern heter. And now the whole plant, because the shear for beetle by killing a carom is 1/200. So if it's growing, if the plant grows 1/200, so it means it's like more than, you know, one part of the plant of Isur, it doesn't have 200 parts of heter opposite. So he says, Hosifin lo hosif lo. So if it adds that amount, so then it becomes Asur, otherwise not. But the implication of that Mishnah is that it's the growth which is Asur. In other words, the additional growth is Asur. And the whole plant only becomes Asur because of the mixture. That's the way it grows. So if it doesn't grow 1/200th, then there's beetle, because the amount that it grew, there's more than 200 parts heter opposite to the amount of Isur. So the linchpin of what we were saying before is that the whole plant becomes Asur. Now we're saying it's just the growth becomes Asur. It's just a question, is there enough heter, you know, to drown that out? So Amar Rava, Trei Krai Ktiv. So Rava says there are two psukim or phrases when it comes to Kilei HaKerem. Ktiv HaZera, it says, Pen Tikdash HaMlaya HaZera Asher Tzizra V'Tzubar HaKerem. So in other words, don't, I can't remember the beginning of the pasuk, but it says that you shouldn't plant kilayim. He says, because pentikdash hamleya hazera shetizra. Mleya means the growth, and the zera means the seed. In other words, the growth will become prohibited, and then the seed will become prohibited. He says, hazera uktiv hamleya. So the two seem to contradict one another. Okay, just 1 minute, okay? So it says, so it means that zera, so the zeras implies the seed is prohibited. Hamleya implies that the growth becomes prohibited. Haketzad, zarua meikaro bahashrasha. So it means if I plant the seed in the vineyard, the seed is there, so the seed is initially not prohibited. Then when it takes root, it becomes prohibited, and the whole seed becomes prohibited. That's one root. He says, zarua uba, but if I have a plant, an existing plant, and I bring it into the kerem, like with that atzitz nakuv, that perforated pot, so then hosifin lo hosif lo. So if it adds on 1/200th, then the whole plant becomes aser, otherwise not. So it's like, so it's, there's two different routes. So the point being that before when we were speaking about Kilei HaKerem, having shot a kosher, that's talking about if I had a seed, so the seed is initially heter, and then it grows, it roots, and then it becomes all prohibited. That's what we were talking about before. But there's another way to have Kilei HaKerem, where I have an existing plant that was rooted already, and then I bring it into the vineyard, maybe in this perforated pot, or I replant it there. Then it depends on whether it grows 1/200th of its growth. All right, so that really was like an added sniff onto the previous sugya, but it really didn't relate to our general topic. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything that I just did? What's up?
So what was the original source of the plant being Asur to begin with?
Again, the plant is not Asur to begin with. It's like wool and linen. Is wool prohibited? Is linen prohibited? When I weave it together, it becomes prohibited, right, Ruth?
Correct.
So with the vineyard is not prohibited. And then if I have a wheat plant or a vegetable, it's not prohibited. But if I take the vegetables and I plant it in the vineyard, And then it takes root, they both become prohibited. You got it?
Good.
Or if I have an existing plant, it's in a perforated pot, and I bring the perforated pot into the vineyard, so then the additional growth becomes prohibited. And then if it's more than 1/200, the whole plant becomes prohibited. Okay.
Got it. Thanks.
Okay.
Well, it's all from Kitetze.
Okay, okay.
What's
the beginning of the Pasuk? Okay, thank you. Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Yosef, you good? Okay, you good, Yosef? Okay, give me something. Okay, good. Okay, let's keep moving. All right, now we're on a new paragraph. This is a famous sugya. It's an interesting sugya. Let's take a look. Okay, everybody, you got to mute themselves, everybody. Okay, let me help everybody out. All right. Okay. So now, he says, Am Rabbi Yaakov, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Mekol Mitrapin. A person could get refuah, you know, it means, heal themselves. He says, with anything, chutz me'atzei asherah, except from the wood of the asherah tree. And if you remember Aaron Moshe, you hear Aaron Moshe? Where's Aaron Moshe? He was here before. There you are, Aaron Moshe, yeah. So remember, we spoke about this. Remember the Mishnah had in the Sechet Avodah Zarah and Daf Memchet, three definitions of an Asherah tree. This was your piece. So either the Asherah tree is the tree is worshipped, or there's Avodah Zarah at the base of the tree, or it's just like the growth on the tree is the Avodah Zarah, okay? So let's just, for this Gemara, let's assume that the tree is worshipped. So I have, or it can be either one, it can be any of them. But let's say whatever the Asherah tree is, he says, Chutz me'atzei Asherah. So I can get refuah from anything except from wood from the Asherah tree. So the Gemara says, Hei Chidami, what's the case? E name it to Ika Sakana, if a person's life is at stake. In other words, my life is in danger unless I get refuah from the wood of the Asherah tree. Afilu atzei Asherah nami. So we would think that I should be able to get benefit from the wood of the Asherah tree, because the Torah says v'chai b'hem, right? I have to live through the Torah, not die from it. He says v'id leka sakana, if there is no sakana, in other words, my situation is not so, the person's situation is not so dangerous, I feel the kuli sin shabatorah nami lo. So then any Yisurim I shouldn't be able to be transgressed to get refuah. So the Gemara says li'olam de'ika sakana. No, we're talking about the person's life is in severe danger. It's a life or death situation. But notwithstanding the fact his life is in danger, he's not allowed to use the Asherah tree, even if it's the difference between life and death. He says, Tanya, we learned the Braisa, and basically he's going to prove, we'll have to take this in slowly, okay? That, in other words, I'm not allowed to transgress Avodah Zarah to save my life. That's the basic idea. We'll see in a minute. He says, Tanya, we learned the Braisa, Reb Lezer Omer, this is from Kriyat Shema, Im ne'mar b'chol nafshecho, lam ne'mar b'chol mo'odecha. If the Torah says you should love Hashem with all your soul, it means your life, why does it say with all your money? Im ne'mar b'chol mo'odecha, if it says b'chol mo'odecha with all your money, it says lam ne'mar b'chol nafshecho. In other words, whatever is the most important thing. So if your life presumably is most important, so why do you have to mention even the money? In other words, even your life you have to give and rather transgress. Some people, their life is more important than their money. Therefore, the Torah says you have to serve God with all of your life. And then, some people, their money is worth more than their life, right? Like I always think this is like an old thing, but like, you know, the Jack Benny, right? He had a routine, you know, the guy says to him, you know, your money or your life. He's quiet. He says, what's going on? He says, wait, I'm thinking. Anyway, so the thing is, so he says here, anyway, the basic point being that that you have to serve Hashem even if necessary with all your life. Now, what's the problem with the Atzei Asherah? So if you look on the bottom line in Rashi, the bottom line, literally the bottom line, he says, "Vahamitrapi ba'atzei Asherah nira kemodaba." Rashi says, if a person gets refuah from the Atzei Asherah, it appears that he's acknowledging that, you know, the deity or the power of the wood of the Asherah tree. That's the way Rashi says. He's nira kemodaba, and then Tosfos has on the third wide line in Tosfos, the last Tosfos, Mishum Da'ati Lamite Batar Avodah Zarah. Like this could lead the person to follow Avodah Zarah. All right. So from Rashi and the Bali Tosfot, it sounds like, you know, it's going to lead to a bad situation. It's like near a Kamodaba, or it's going to lead you to do Avodah Zarah. Now, somebody mentioned to me today, there's a Rabbi Ike Sultan, he says that the Ran learns, though, it's a din of Abizrayu da Avodah Zarah. We've spoken about this before. Remember, Abizrayu means you have the Etzem Aveira itself, and Abizrayu is everything that extends from it. And even sometimes he's termed Rabbanan that extend from it, are also included in the same general dinim. So I think the Ran's derech is easy to learn this way. In other words, that the Torah says you have to give up your life rather than do Avodah Zarah, but not just Avodah Zarah itself, anything that relates to the Avodah Zarah. Anyway, but that's the basic idea. So let's take a look, two lines from the bottom, and then I'll pause in a couple lines. So ki ata Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Israel, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he said the name of Rabbi Yochanan, B'chol Mitrapin, a person can get refuah from anything. He says, Chutz mei Avodah Zarah, except from Avodah Zarah, V'gilui Arayot, U'shvichot Damim. Meaning, if I could save my life by worshiping Avodah Zarah, I have to, you know, death rather than that. He says, and Gilui Arayot, I could save my life. And the war, let's say the doctors say, you'll save your life, you have relations with this lady or this married woman. So I have to, it seems kind of strange, but the idea is that I have to accept death and that. Okay, so the Lefern. And then he says, and then on the top line on Chafei Amud Beis, he says, U'shvichot Damim. And then Shvichot Damim. They say like, you know, we're going to kill you. In other words, they say to Reuven, we're going to kill you unless you kill Shimon. So Reuven has to take the bullet. He can't do that. So in those are the three cardinal mitzvos I cannot transgress. Even though the Torah says v'chai b'hem, that the Torah is to live by and not to die by, but for these, I have to accept death. I have to accept death. Okay, now, the top line on Chaf Hei Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, Avodah Zarah had the Amran. So Avodah Zarah, we said about Avodah Zarah because it says that you have to worship Hashem, you know, b'chol nafshecha, with all of your soul. And so that means that you have to give up your life, you know, even for the worship of Hashem. He says, Gilui arayot u'shvicha damim d'tanya. Rebbe Omer, ki kasher yakum isha re'eh u'tzacho nefesh kena d'var hazeh. So it's talking about, again, this is in Parshas Ki Tetze. It's about a Nara Murasa, that a woman who's betrothed, she went to Erusin, and she's raped by a man. So the Torah says, Ki kasher yakum isha re'eh u'tzacho nefesh kena d'var hazeh. Just like a murderer, so this case of a woman, it says, like, Tzakaha Nara Musava Ein Moshila. She cried out, and nobody was there to help her. So we don't understand what the Pesukim are telling us. What does the din of Rotseach have to do with Nara Morsa? It sounds like, just like there's a din and by Rotseach, Rotseach is a murderer, I'm going to learn Nara Morsa from Rotseach, but I don't know what I'm supposed to learn from Rotseach. So Hareza Baal Lameid Bim Salameid, it looks like it's coming to teach. It looks like Rotseach is A and Nara Morsa is B. So it looks like I'm supposed to learn something from A to B, but it's really coming out the other way, that really I'm learning a din in A from B. He says, Makish Rotseach l'Nara Murasa. Ma Nara Murasa nitan l'hatzila b'nafsho. Just like Nara Murasa, I can kill the perpetrator. In other words, I see Reuven raping Sarah, so, or about to rape Sarah, I can kill Reuven. And the Gemara darshens out, because it says, let me see where he has it here. Yeah, if you look in Rashi, it's around the fifth narrow line. It says, V'ein Moshiyalo. In other words, there was nobody to save her. He says, Hayim Yesh Moshiyah Tzarich Loshiyah B'chol Asher Yachol. So if there wasn't somebody who could save her, he could use any means to save her. He says, Afilu B'harigato. Imein Yachol Hatzil B'chad Meiv Arab Yargenu. If there's no other way to save this woman, I could even kill the perpetrator. Okay, so back in the Gemara. So Rotseach is learning from Nara Murasa. Af Rotseach nitam l'atzil b'nafsho. So it means that just like if I see a woman about to be raped, I can kill Reuven if there's no other way to save Sarah. So too, if I see Reuven about to kill Shimon, I can kill Reuven. he says here, v'naro morsa rotzeach, and then there's a din that naro says is going to learn from rotzeach. Ma rotzeach yehareg v'al yavur, just like by rotzeach, a person has to, you know, if they say, you know, kill Shimon or we're going to kill you, you have to accept death. Af naro morsa, now we have tehareg v'al ta'avur, that she should be killed and not transgress. But if you look at Tosfos, the top line in Tosfos, everybody have it. You see the Tosfos? Perish HaBoel. In other words, that the person who's going to have the man partner, he's the one who has to get killed. Avalhi Tibayo below Tehare, Karka Olamhi. She does not get death penalty. Remember the Gemara learned Sanhedrin. Remember Esther was a Karka Olam, and she's passive. So she doesn't have to get killed. So, you know, that's a, you know, if you're, God forbid, if a person's in that situation, there's a big, you know, difference between which girsa you have here. So he says here, so the idea is that just like the rotzeach, if a person says to Reuven, kill or you're going to be killed, he's got to take the death penalty. Similarly, you know, if the person says, I'm going to kill you unless you have relations with this married woman, You also have to be killed. You have to accept the death penalty because that's violating it. Now, and then, all right, let me pause for a second, then we'll move on. And who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, I'm going to move on. Okay, so we're on the 10th line on Chaf Hei Amud Beis. Everybody with me? Ushvichu damim gufa menalan. So where do I know that if they attempt to, they say, kill Shimon, we're going to kill you, so where do I know that I have to give up my life for that? So he says, Svarahu. Svar, it's a logic. He says, Ki Yehuda atzel kami d'Rava, like a certain person, like Reuben came before Rava, Amarle, he said, Reuben said to Rava, Mare durai Amarle, zil katle leplanya, the governor of my town said to me, you should kill Shimon. He says, V'ilo katle lach, if you don't kill Shimon, we're going to kill you. So Amarle, Rava said to him, Lichteluch below Tiktol. You have to let him kill you, and you should not kill somebody. He says, "My chazi d'dama didach sumak tvei." How do you figure? What's your cheshbon that your blood is redder than Shimon's blood? Dilma dama dahu gabra sumak tvei. Maybe Shimon's blood is redder. You know, somebody in the base medrash, there's a fellow who sits on the table in front of me, so he's discussing. That's why I like going to the base medrash. There's always people to discuss things with. So his name is Eli Fink, but he said to me, "There's a Yad Ramah in Sanhedrin, where the Yad Ramah wants to say, the way I remember this was, you might say like this, like let's say a person's a gadol, let's say he has a million, he studied Shas 50 times over, does a million mitzvot, and the person they want him to kill is a big Michal Shabbos, and he's, you know, engaging in a riot and everything else. But he says, notwithstanding that, the Torah is teaching me, I can't evaluate whose mitzvahs are more greater than others. In other words, even the ones that God, the ones not, I can't evaluate who's greater than the other one. And then, so Mamela, the person has to be killed. And then on the other hand, I was talking today to Rabbi Ike Sultan. He's a big Talmud Chacham. And so he was saying how he wanted this a different approach to say that it could be that you're the gadol, and in Achinami, you do have more mitzvot and everything than this other person, but the Torah is saying that notwithstanding that, these are the rules of the Torah, you have to be killed first. All right.
But what if the other person is a Gentile?
So I don't think that would make a difference, frankly, for this din, because you're not allowed to kill a non-Jew, so I don't think it would make a difference. I don't think it would make a difference.
You can't kill them. You can't kill the goy to save your own life.
I don't think you could, frankly.
I think you could kill him.
I have to look into it. I why do you think you could kill Yosef?
Because to save your own life over a goy.
Yeah, but the Torah, when the Torah says like lo tirtzach, it's across everybody. You can't kill. I
can you check on that, please, for us?
Belinetter, I'll try to get back tomorrow with that. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions, comments, and
thoughts? Person's willing to be killed. Suppose you Reuven's told to kill Shimon.
Yeah,
so
I don't think it makes a difference because it's like suicide. You're not allowed to. You don't own your body. It's owned by the Ribono Shalom. Okay. Who's
another? The Gemara uses the term samuk tfei. It doesn't differentiate on ideology or religion. It's red blood.
Yeah. All right.
Samuk tfei.
All right.
His blood isn't redder than yours.
So Kevorkian is not a favorite here.
It's a guy also.
All right. All right. Any other questions? Any other comments?
All right. Does the guy have this? We know the guy also were commanded not to kill, right? It's one of the Shivas
Menorah. Right. That's true.
So if this was a guy, if someone said to a guy, kill that person or I'll kill you, does he have to obey this as well?
Yeah, so I would think that in other words, is the goy, is he also charged with this mitzvah?
They have the same big three, right?
Yeah, well that they do. Let me look into that, okay? Let me look into it. Blinet, I'll try to get back to you. So you want to know if the goy is the victim and if the goy is the perpetrator. That's why you have to look into it. Okay. All right. Is everybody ready to go further? All right. All right, so I'm back in the Gemara. Everybody mute themselves. Everybody muted. Okay, good. All right, so back in the Gemara. She says, okay, Mar Baravashi, Ashkil Ravina. So Mar Baravashi encountered Ravina, the Shayfla the Brate, Biguharke de Orla. He was like anointing his daughter. We're back to our original topic with getting Hana from things. So he says, Biguharke de Orla is like it was oil, but from unripe olives. But from Orla. So you're not allowed to get Hana from Orla, but he's not getting Hana in the normal fashion. He says, so Amarle, Emur Dama Rabbanan Bishara Sakana. So he says, when the Chum said, in other words, it does relate to the previous sugya. He says, Bechomet Rapin, I can get a refuah from anything. So they said you can get a refuah from anything, that's Bishasha Sakana, if there's a life in danger. He says, Shlobishara Sakana Miyamur, but if your daughter's life's not in danger, how are you allowed to get Hana from the orla fruits? So Amarle, Hayishtat Samirta Nami Shara Sakana Damya. Like this fever called Ishtat Samirta, it's like this burning fever, that's like Shara Sakana. That's the first Lashon. So Ikada Amri, but some say that Amarle, that Ravina said to him, Midi derechana kavina. He says, in other words, in Achinami, it was not shara sakana. In other words, according to the first lashon, he said it was a sakana, it was a fever, so I can get hana from it. According to the second lashon, it wasn't shara sakana, but he says, midi derechana kavina. Am I getting benefit from it in the normal fashion? So again, remember we said, if I get hana not in the normal fashion. So we had three shitot, either it's prohibited on the Torah level, prohibited rabbinically, or totally heter. So the derech that they took in the art scroll is most Rishonim take, that he took it, that if you're getting benefit not in the normal fashion, that's a prohibited on a Drabanan level. And here his daughter needed it, and even though it might not have been Shatzakana, but she needed it. Let me just see if he learns Shatzakana with this. I don't think he's learning with Shatzakana. One second. Right. So it wasn't a life-threatening illness, but he was using it slow, not in the normal fashion. So he felt that under these circumstances, but she did have illness, but it was not a life-threatening illness. But he felt that if normally it's only a drabanan because I'm not getting benefit in the normal fashion, and then it was where she's sick, so I could use it. That's the way he felt. That's the way he felt like that. And again, these olives hadn't been fully ripened olives, so it's not normal that you would squeeze the olives to their oil and get benefit from it from this whole thing. That would be the not normal fashion. All right, who's got questions, comments on anything we did? Are we good?
No, I want to point out the diuk and Rashi. Which my fuzz is the Dhamma Didux Samuk.
Yeah.
About 10 lines down in that Rashi, it says, Ela Pipne. Chibas nafsho shel Yisrael.
That's true. Yeah.
That's an answer to Yosef.
Yeah, so it's cutting back the other way.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to kill him?
One second.
It seems to differentiate. I'm Medayik and Rashi that he makes a difference between a nefesh of Yisrael and a nefesh of an Akum.
What's that?
Yosef wants an answer that you're allowed to kill him. So you have to give him this answer.
He did.
And you're allowed to steal. You have to steal. You're allowed also to steal from Goy.
Don't say that.
All right. So let me look into it. Okay. Let me look into it. Okay.
But then it generally talks about nefesh avudah.
Yeah. All right. So that's a good point. It's a good point, Michael. But let me look into it. Believe it, I'll try to get back to you. Okay. All right. Let's see back. I'm going to move further in the Gemara now. Okay.
Rabbi, by Orla, it doesn't say Achila, right?
By Orla, it says Arilim lo ye'achel. It does say you can't eat it. By Orla, it says you cannot eat it, right?
It does say it.
Okay. Okay. Now, all right. Now, let's next piece of the Gemara. All right. Okay. Now, the Gemara says Itmar. Okay. So, Itmar, Hanaba Luyadam Ba'al Korcho. Let's say a person gets Hanaba Al Korcho. Ba'al Korcho means, let's say there's this fragrant incense from the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They're burning the incense, but it really smells fantastic, you know. Or they have these singers from the Avodah Zarah. You know, even if they're not women singers, let's say men singers, and I hear them singing for the Avodah Zarah, and oh, it's so nice. So now I'm not allowed to get benefit. You know, you're right. You could say at this time of the year, you know, they have a lot of, you know, our non-Jewish neighbors, you know, the holiday, December 25th or something. Okay, now, so he says like this. There's a question. Rashi says it's talking about smelling fragrance, but some Mepharshim say it's not just fragrance. So, Hana Ba'al Adam Al Korcho. So let's say if he walks down path A, he knows that he's going to smell this fragrance from the Avodah Zarah. They have a place of Avodah Zarah there. If he walks down path B, he knows that won't take place. So, Itmar Hana Ba'al Adam Al Korcho. Abai Amar Muteret. Abai says, if it's against his will, it's permissible. Rav Amar Asura. Now, the Gemara is going to flesh out the machloket. Efshar v'kamachavein means if I could just as easily take path B, but I choose path A, where I'm going to smell the incense. He says v'kamachavein, and my intention is that I want to smell the incense. So I could take path B and not smell it, but I want to take path A because I want to smell the incense. He says, or lo efshar v'kamachavein, or now efshar and lo efshar doesn't mean it's like possible and impossible, just means is it, you know, more feasible or less feasible? Or it's low efshar, meaning like path B is twice or three times the trip. I go like path A is, it gets me to my place in 1 mile. Path B I have to take 3 miles. But even as low efshar, the kamachavein, but my intention is to, you know, get from the smell that fragrance. Kuli amalo pligi the asur. There, both Abai and Rav agree that it's prohibited. So if my intent, the two variables are efshar below efshar and my kavana, okay? So efshar below efshar, could I just as easily take a different path or not? And what is my intent? Is my intent to get hana from this incense in the example? So where my intent is to get benefit from this incense, everybody agrees that that's prohibited. Lo efshar velo mechavein, but let's say it's not possible, it's difficult for me to take path B because it's three times as long. And my intent is not to smell the incense. I just can't help it. It's going to happen to me anyway. Kuli amalo pligi deshari. Everybody agrees that's permissible. So and again, you have these two variables. So if both variables cut in my favor, meaning the other path is low efshar, it's three times as long, and my intent is not to inhale the incense, so everybody agrees it's permissible. He says, Kipli, the machloket between Abai v'Rava is efshar v'lo machavein, where I could just as easily take path B, path A and path B get me in the same place, same distance or whatever, and I could take path B, but v'lo machavein, but my intent is not to, you know, inhale this fragrance. I'm not interested in inhaling the fragrance. He says, so it means that's the machloket. We're gonna explain it in a minute, but it comes out that Abai said that's mutar. If I don't intend to do that, it's mutar. And Rava says, notwithstanding that, it's prohibited. He says, Balibit Rabbi Yehuda da Amar davar shemit kaven asur kulim alo pli da asur. Now, if you remember, we learned in Hilchot Shabbat davar shein mit kaven, right? So who remembers what the case in the Gemara is in Shabbos? Let me hear, Michael. Let me hear. What is
dragging the bench?
Yeah, would say it in Lashon Gemara that we learned. You got it. But how does the Gemara say it?
Right.
Right.
The gumot and the safsal or something.
Gara kise mita basapsal is the way I remember, right? A chair, a bed, and a sapsal, a bench. Anyway, so the person on Shabbos is going to drag, you know, an object like a bench, and it may or may not make a furrow in the ground. It may or may not make a furrow in the ground. So Rabbi Huda says, davar. So Alibis Rabbi Huda damar davar shemit kavin asur. So Rabbi Huda says, I'm not allowed to do that, even though it's davar shemit kavin. Now here with the fragrance, if you look at Rashi, not Rashi, Tosfos. So if you look in the Tosfos, the Dibur Macha Lo Efshar, around 10 lines above where it gets wide, he says, Umayri can go into Lo Havi Psik Resha. He says, the Psik Resha Moda Reb Shimon. It was not a Psik Resha where it definitely will, you know, inhale the fragrance, but there's a reasonable chance that I will inhale the fragrance. You know what I mean? Not 100%, but a reasonable chance that I will. So the Gemara says, so there's a Machloket, whether I do something in Shabbos, Davar Shem Kavein, is that Asra Mutar. So back in the Gemara, believe the Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Davar Shem et Kavin Asur, Kulin Amalo Plihi Da Asur. So within the sheets of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, who's Davar Shem et Kavin, even I don't intend to do it, but it can happen, so it's prohibited. So then Abai Varava both agree that that's prohibited. Ki Plihi Alibit Reb Shimon, Davar Shem et Kavin Mutar. So if it's, but within the sheets of the Tana Reb Shimon, and we hold like the Tana Reb Shimon, right? That's how we're able to open refrigerators on Shabbos, even though the fan may go on. So he says, Davar Shemit Kavin is Butar. So Abayi Kareb Shimon. So Abayi says, look, you don't have Kavana to inhale the fragrance. Maybe you'll inhale the fragrance, maybe you won't inhale the fragrance. So you're allowed to walk by there, according to Abayi. For Rava Amar, Rava says, Adkan lo ka'amar Reb Shimon elahechad lo efshar. Reb Shimon only holds that Davar Shemit Kavin is Butar. It's a heavy object and you can't lift it up. In other words, like it's a big chair. He says, Aval hechad efshar lo. So Rava wants to say that when Reb Shimon gives you a heter, this is like gorer adam mita kisei bisapsal, a person could drag along a chair, but that's only if you couldn't easily carry the chair, according to Rava. If I could just as easily carry the chair, even Reb Shimon would say don't do that. So here, where it's efshar, I could just as easily take path B, according to Rava, nobody gives you a heter. Okay, so let's just summarize again what we did. What is not looking good, Michael? Okay, well, let's just say again. Okay, so the two variables are efshar velo efshar. Is it just as feasible for me to take a different route where I will not inhale the fragrance? And then is my kavana to inhale the fragrance? So the Gemara says that again. So Abai Varab really don't have such a big machloket. They agree on many different cases. So where my kavana is to inhale the fragrance, then everybody agrees. Abai Barab agrees it's prohibited. That's dead in the water. He says. Then he says. Yeah. So, but the machloket is efshar below mechavein, where I could just as easily take path B, but my kavana in taking path A is not to inhale the fragrance, and I may or may not inhale the fragrance. So then they both agree within Reb Yehuda, I'm prohibited from doing that. But they have a machlokas within the Tana Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says that I could take a chair and drag it on Shabbos, even though it might make a furrow, if my intent is not to make a furrow. That's what Reb Shimon says. So Abai says, I hold like Reb Shimon. If your intent is not to inhale, and you may or may not inhale, that's like Reb Shimon. And Rava says, I also hold like Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, in my opinion, only holds that you could drag the chair if it's a heavy chair. But if you could, it's a light chair, then even Reb Shimon says you should carry it. So here, where it's Efshar, you have another path to take. You should take the path. And if you choose to take path A, and you do inhale it, so that's prohibited. Okay, who's got questions, comments, to us than anything I did so far?
So that's why we have to turn the light off in the refrigerator before Shabbos, even though the fan might go on.
With light,
according
is,
to Reb Shimon, you have
no,
to
the light. The light is for sure is going to go on. That's different right. than the fan. The light
right.
for sure.
Is going right. On. The light is the psik resha. Right. So that you have to turn off. Nobody gives a heter for psik resha, but the fan is an einu mitkaven. Okay. Although we discussed, so some people are machmir. They only open the refrigerator when the fan is going because they don't want to cause the fan to go on. Okay. All right.
Well, this is hard. No, it'd be like if I like the smell of cheeseburgers and I walk by a tray for Esrog because it's basar b'chalav and I shouldn't have enough in the basar b'chalav? Or
so if it's basar b'chalav, then in achinami, I think you would there would be
no type don't aren't there some opinions that basar b'chalav has to be basar kosher, not treif or nevela.
Yeah, you're right about that. I gotta check that over again. I have to check that over again with the basar b'chalav. So I need to look that up again about basar b'chalav. Let's say it's a kosher breed.
Then we just learn it from treifa.
No, in other words, like let's say it's beef, a cow, or whatever. In other words, he's saying let's say it's chazer. So is there a prohibition against getting hana that chazer that was cooked with milk? I have to check all these things. But even the way you're saying, Michael, I think that if it's beef, I think even though it's not kosher shechted, I think it would be basar.
I thought it has to be kosher.
You mean it's kosher shechita? It has to be kosher.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't think that is the case. I know they talk about like dog food, and dog food isn't kosher. But anyway, but all right.
Well,
anyway,
Michael's right. Would I be over if I cooked meat and milk together where the meat wasn't done by shechita? I think I'm still over it. Basar b'chalav.
Let me check about the two dinim with the goyim and the basar b'chalav with the non kosher meat. Okay,
didn't we learn basar b'chalav from?
From a treifa.
Yeah, the treifa is not kosher. So
that's true. We did learn it from a treifa. The only thing is, though, right? But we did learn it from a treifa. Okay, let me check that out also. Okay, all right. Now, So I'm going to go further in the sugya, and then we'll hopefully wrap this up. Okay, all right. Now there's another lashon in here. All right, let's take a look. Okay. So we're around six lines from the bottom. We're going into overtime tonight, but I canceled late Mariv because I don't think there could be a minion. Okay, so we're around seven, eight lines from the bottom on Chaf Hei Amud Beis. Ika de Amri. So some want to say a different lashon. Efshar v'lo mechavein. So again, so in the previous sugya, we said the point of dispute between Abai v'Rava was Efshar. I could easily take path, you know, B. He says, and I'm taking path A, below Machaveh. And that was Machloket within the Tana Rib Shimon. How would Rib Shimon hold on that? Where Abai says that in that case, Rib Shimon holds is permissible. And Rava says, no. That was in the previous Sugya. So, Ika de Amre, Efshar below Machaveh, Hainu Plutai de Rabbi Yehuda Rib Shimon. He says, some want to say that Efshar below Machaveh, where I don't have Kavana, that Gufa is the Machloket between Rabbi Yehuda Rib Shimon. Meaning, in this version, Abai and Rava both agree that Rabbi Shimon would say that case is permissible, and Rabbi Yehuda would say the case is prohibited, and that's not the case that they have the machloket on. He says, "Lo efshar v'lo kamachavein." If it's not so feasible, in other words, path B is 3 miles longer, and he doesn't have kavana to benefit from the incense. Kuli amalo pligi d'shari. Everybody agrees it's permissible. All right, 1 second. Yeah, everybody, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, everybody agrees it's permissible. Ki pligi delo efshar v'kamachave. The machloket is delo efshar v'kamachave. In other words, path B is like 3 miles, and my kavana is to inhale the fragrance. Now, he says here, this is a little tricky. Look on the eighth wide line in Rashi. Ki pligi delo efshar v'kamachave. Umi ulibit Rav Shimon de chashiva le kavana. Demati Rafilu b'de Efshar ho v'lo kamachavein alma akavana kabed hecha de kamachavein afal kavlo Efshar asur. So we think like this, that Reb Shimon we think is more focused on a person's kavana, right? Reb Shimon says if my kavana was not to make the faro, I have a heter to do it, even though the faro may be there. So within this lashon, we're thinking he says. Keep the low Efshar. In other words, path B is a longer path to Kamachavain, and I do have Kavana to inhale the fragrance, but leave with Reb Shimon to Azil Batra Kavana, Kuli Amalo Pligi to Asur. So it's like flipping it over. Reb Shimon was making before, within Reb Shimon, where I have Kavana to inhale the fragrance, so we think that Reb Shimon would say everything is the Kavana. So Mamela, everybody agrees that's prohibited to go on that path. Ki pligi alibid Rabbi Yehuda. The machlok between Abai and Rava is within the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar, lo shana mitkavin, lo shana she'emit kavin, efshar asur. So we think like this, that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, in other words, one second. Yeah. So within Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon have a machloket when a person is dragging, you know, a chair on the ground, and it may or may not make a groove. So the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, you know, I don't care that it wasn't your kavana to make it, but you know, tough luck, you're going to be chayev, even though your kavana was not to do that. So he's not interested in kavana per se. He's just interested in the activity. Now, he says, now, alibid Rabbi Yehuda da'amar, lo shana mitkavein, lo shana she'emit kavein, efshar asur. So efshar, so we want to say that, one second. But the efshar, Okay.
I didn't unmute myself. Who unmute myself?
Okay. All right. Let me help you. Okay. All right. Okay. So we think that Reb Shimon, according to the Sukkimta, we think the machloket Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon is even when I can. If it's a light object. Let's say it's a light chair. So a light chair, so I could just as easily carry it. So there, even there, that's the case of Efshar. That's the case where the Tana Rabbi Yehuda will say that if I could have just as easily carried it, so I'm chayev. In other words, I could have just as easily carried it. I didn't carry it, so I'm chayev. That's the way. Now let's go back in the Gemara. So he says here, ki pligi libid Rabbi Yehuda, damar lo shana mitkavein, lo shana she'emit kavein, Efshar asur. So we think that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, if it was Efshar, in other words, I could have just as easily carried this chair. Nevertheless, I'm chayev because I dragged the chair on the ground. He says, Abaye Rabbi Yehuda. So Loshna She'emit Kavein, Efshar Asur. So the only variable, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that matters is Efshar. In other words, if it's just as easily for me to carry or not carry, so then I run into problems. So here's a case where it's low Efshar. In other words, according to this version, we think the machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, it's a light object. But if it would be a heavy object, it's like opposite the way we normally understand the machloket. In other words, if it's a heavy object, then we think that Rabbi Yehuda would indeed say that I could drag the heavy object on the ground. That's what we're saying. So machloket Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon is a light object that I could just as easily carry. Then if I don't carry it and I drag it on the ground, then I'm chayev. That's a case efshar. That's efshar. But if it's low efshar, in other words, I couldn't just as easily carry it because it's a heavy chair. So then I drag it. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we think that I'm not chayev. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we think I'm not chayev. So he says here, he says, Ella, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda da'amar, lo shana mitkavein, lo shana ha'emit kavein. It was your kavana is irrelevant. Efshar asur. So the only case that you're asur is when it's efshar, when I could just easily carry it. But if I drag it, since that's not the normal, you know, product of this, of dragging it, and my intent is not to create a furrow, so he's just focusing on efshar and low efshar. So Abaye Rabbi Yehuda. So Abaye says mutar would be like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning this is a case of low efshar, and so in low efshar, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda will be good with it. Virava, let's see back. Virava Amar Lach. So in other words, we're reorganizing the machloka between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, or understanding in a different fashion. We think that according to Reb Shimon, the key is a person's kavana. According to the Tana Reb Shimon, is my kavana to get benefit from it or not? And that's the only variable that I have to take into account. So here's a case. The case of the machlok between Abai and Rava is where it was Kibli delo efshar b'kamachavein. It's longer route to take path B, but my kavana is indeed to get benefit from it. So there, everything gets flipped over. So according to Reb Shimon, kavana is the key. So my kavana is to get benefit from the incense. So Reb Shimon says that's prohibited, we think. And Reb Yehuda is going to hold in that case. No, only thing I'm focusing is efshar or lo efshar. In other words, could I just as easily do it the other way or not? So Abaye is going to be like Reb Yehuda. Abaye is going to hold that here it's lo efshar, so it's permissible. And we think for Rava, we think will be like Reb Shimon. That's what we think. So the top line of Chavav ben Aleph, Rava Amarlach, Rava would say to you, Ad kan lo kamar Reb Yehuda she'emit kavin kemit kavin el luchumra. So Rabbi Huda holds ein mitkavein is like a mitkavein. In other words, I hold that even though he didn't have kavana, but he dragged the light chair on the ground, so he's chayev. He says that was where it resulted in the chumra of al mitkavein shem mitkavein lekula lo. In other words, here you're taking the Tana Rabbi Huda, and you're trying to extrapolate a kula from his shita to say, in other words, he really says, if you take the light chair and drag it on the ground, so then you're chayav for it. And you're saying if it would be a heavy chair, he'd say it's patur. That's what you want to say. Who says that the heavy chair would be patur? Maybe that he also holds is prohibited. You don't know that. And so Rabbi will reject that whole analogy. So one second, listen. So all right, let me just try this once more, and then we'll try to do this again. So one second. Okay, so let me say it again. Okay, so in the second version, Abaye v'Rava agree that Reb Shimon will say it's permissible. So the case is lo efshar. The second path is not feasible, but his kavana is to inhale the fragrance. That's the second case. That's the point of dispute between Abaye v'Rava. So and Abaye v'Rava will agree that according to the Tana, Reb Shimon, you'll be off the hook. Because according to the Tana, he says, that's right. According to the Tana Reb Shimon, who kavana is the whole thing, so it's prohibited. It's prohibited. But the machloket is within the Tana Reb Yehuda. That's the key. So the question is according to Abaye, Reb Yehuda only prohibits you when it's like carrying a light chair. I'm carrying a light chair that he prohibits. But if it would be a heavy chair, which is a low F-sharp case, so you'd say that's permissible. That's the way Abaye understands the shita with Reb Yehuda's shita. In other words, Reb Yehuda's only concern with your, you know, efshar or low efshar. And according to Rava, who says that that's what he says? In other words, in Akinami, he has a machloket by the light chair, efshar. He may have a machloket also by the heavy chair. Okay, that's the best I have with that piece. All right. All right, let me end the recording. One second. Let me end the recording.